We've been told for a long time that the left side of the brain is the logical, practical, and verbal side, and that the right side is intuitive, philosophical, creative. But in fact, what we don't know about the brain is vastly greater than what we do know. We barely understand the ways in which we store and connect images and memories and how those memories change over a lifetime. We're not sure if listening to Beethoven or Mozart really helps develop the neural pathways of a child. But we do understand that art arises from and communicates to nearly every sector inside our skulls. Joining me to talk about art and the brain today is the writer Aryeh Lev Stolman. He's a neuroradiologist at the Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York City, and he is also the author of two critically acclaimed novels, The Far Euphrates and The Illuminated Soul. His newest book, The Dialogues of Time and Entropy, will be published in February. Aryeh Lev Stolman, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you.
Before we get started and have you explain the recesses of the brain to us, I'd love for you to read from The Illuminated Soul.
Can I give a little introduction?
Please.
Okay. The Illuminated Soul is a story about a beautiful stranger, a refugee, who arrives in the border city of Windsor, Ontario, several years after World War II. And because of problems with her visa, she gets stuck in Windsor and comes to stay and board with a widow, Adele Ivry, and her two sons, Joseph and Asa. The novel is actually narrated 50 years later. And Joseph, the narrator, goes on to be a very well-known neuroanatomist. And he himself has written a book called The Illuminated Soul. And I'm just going to read a little excerpt about his work on the brain and the way he sees the world. I am an expert on brains. For 40 years, I have studied the convolutions and neuronal layers where reason and consciousness reside, and the myelinated pathways that wander throughout us to encounter and perceive our world. In my career, I have delineated several uncharted tracts within the limbic system of man, a large and complexly arching structure on the inner surface of the cerebral hemisphere. Despite all my hard work and acknowledged success in this field of neuroanatomy, I still cannot say precisely what these tracts that I have discovered actually do. I like to believe they are part of that miraculous loom on which we constantly weave back and forth and back again, where memory and time are densely laid down in the most intricate and compact way. There is no longer a before or after in these woven patterns, only a great simultaneity of recorded experience and an audacious, if illusory, defiance of time.
In The Illuminated Soul, you talk quite a bit about the sense that you have. I'm presuming that the narrator and you share some ideas, the sense that there really is a great interconnectedness among ourselves, between the way we imagine the world and the structures of our brains. Talk to me about that sense of interconnectedness, because it seems to take your knowledge as a scientist and to kind of extend it into the realms of the spiritual, or what have conventionally been the spiritual rather than the scientific.
Well, I actually believe that the way we see our world, the way we encounter it, the way we experience it, and the way we remember it, the way our memories are formed, is really a reflection of our brain anatomy. And the way I look at it is the brain in development, it folds upon itself, it becomes very layered, and it becomes woven. It's a woven structure. And I see memory as a woven phenomena. I mean, our memories are cross-linked, they're associative, they're never linear. We always think, remember one thing from 40 years ago and then something from yesterday and then something back and forth in time. So it's not linear, our memories. They're really woven together across time. And then I think, going from that point, that not only our memories are woven, but what we create is woven. Our literatures are woven. Our art is woven. Everything is really woven. It's not linear.
So all of the arts that attempt to be linear are imposing, in your view, a kind of fake reality upon reality that doesn't come naturally to human brains.
Right. I mean, I think we acquire our information linearly in time. We learn and we add information as we go along in time. But when we store it, it becomes cross-linked in time. It's suspended in time. But I think there's two things. One is that it becomes cross-linked in time. But I also think it's not just the creative products of our brains are woven, but the fact that our brains are woven, it provides us the ability to be creative. It's actually what produces the creativity.
So it's a small leap from that cross-linked glimpse of that one had at age 9 to something one sees or thinks today to metaphor, to weird and unpredicted and unpredictable connections. So the very nature of our brains at least gives us the hardware to be artists.
That's correct. That's correct. That's what produces it.
Is that a renegade viewpoint in neurosciences or just yours, or is it a kind of given and an established scientific
fact? I think it's understood. I think maybe people don't always take it to the next point. I think some people do, but I'm not sure everybody takes it to understanding or trying to think about what creativity is. But I think it's accepted.
In The Illuminated Soul, the character you mentioned, Ava, says that everything we experience, everything any human experiences, literally transforms the brain. Every glimpse, every sight, every smell. Is that true?
I think it does, because the only way we acquire memories is by having some kind of physiological change. And even if it is a memory that doesn't remain, at least when you're acquiring the sensation of a smell, a fragrance, of a picture, it is changing something in your brain. Whether it will last forever, that's a different question. But even any memory we have is a change in our brain.
Is it seems to me your books get close to addressing if not the key question of the last several centuries, which is there a difference in the Cartesian sense between the brain and the mind? Is there?
Well, this is just a personal belief or just a personal hunch. I tend to think that the mind is within the brain, that that's where it resides. That's where our consciousness is, and it's not outside the mind. I always think that the soul that people talk about, which they sort of visualize floating around, was a way to understand something which is too hard to comprehend. So it's easier to think of something else floating around than to actually realize that whatever is divine or miraculous is within the matter of our brain.
So the idea of the soul, in your view, is simply a kind of pre-scientific metaphor for this amazing thing that we have going around between our ears.
For me, I mean, I don't know 100% for sure, but that's my sense of it.
Your father was a rabbi, and you had a pretty serious religious education, and both of your novels are about fairly seriously religious people, observant Jews. Do you struggle to reconcile the scientific view of the world with your religious and spiritual view of the world?
I sometimes think these questions are almost beside the point. It doesn't take away from divinity of creation or the divinity within creation to think of the mind arising from something material. It still doesn't take away. It doesn't change theological questions that much. You know, God can still exist. I'm not saying God doesn't exist because our minds are within matter. To me, that seems even more miraculous. I think the easy way out is to say there's some kind of floating soul, because it's so hard to comprehend that matter is thinking and living and breathing. That seems more miraculous to me.